This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program is a blessing to you, encourages you, perhaps even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. The program can be re-listened to there. There's a lot of other information on that website that you might find helpful, as well as there's a weekly meditation that I send out by email and can be found also on the website. You can reach me by regular mail at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. We're interested in your comments, and we would pray for you if you send us prayer requests. Again, that address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Now, we've done a lot of work trying to understand the theme of the Bible, and we've noted that the Bible is a progressive revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing that has been concerning me lately is how can we really be confident that the Bible is telling us the truth? And truth is an important aspect of the Bible. And generally, when somebody tells us something, we do believe them unless they have a reputation for lying. And so when I come to the Bible, I realize that the only assurance I have of salvation for eternity is the promises that the Bible gives me along that line. And the Bible does make a lot of references to truth. I realize that in the day and age in which we live, people are questioning the truth on every hand. And I find it interesting that we believe in people who we know don't tell us the truth. That is, we believe in some politicians that we know don't tell us the truth because we believe that they will be able to give us programs and laws that we believe will be beneficial to us, that they'll help us economically. But to me, that is an inconsistency, and though I see it on every hand in society, that should not be the case when it comes to our relationship with the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that in the Bible we read faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the question is, can we depend on the Word of God? Now, if we come to the Bible with a mindset that it is not dependable, we'll probably be able to find many reasons to ignore what it says. If we come to the Bible with a mindset that's open and desiring to know whether the Bible is able to give us truth, then I think that the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to open our eyes to the truth of Scripture. We know that the Lord is truth. He says, I am, in John 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And again, in John 1 and verse 17, we would read, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, the problem we have is that while I believe that when we read the Bible and when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are trusting in the truth, yet we have conflict in the world today, because the Lord tells the Jews in John 8 verse 44, and he's talking to religious people, you are of your father the devil. That is, they are acting like the offspring of the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so we have set before us in the Bible the deceitfulness of the liar who deceived Adam and Eve in the garden versus the truthfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we find out is the one who in John John 1 and verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now we have to decide what we're going to believe in this life. And most people accept the Bible as a good book, and as a book of philosophy, as a book of good history, although some people question the historical importance of the book. But generally when it comes to the history of Israel and the history of the New Testament church, most people would accept it. But I find that many people pick and choose what they want to believe out of this book. And we all have our mindset as to what we would like God to be like. And so I have friends who say that they'll believe anything that the Lord has said, but they won't believe any all the things that the apostles said. I have some who say that they believe the writers of Paul, with the exception of his writing on women. They feel that what he wrote about the woman's role in the church is not to be depended upon, that it's culturally unacceptable in our day and it's not anymore relevant. I don't know that they would say it's not the truth, but they would say it's not relevant. And so as I go through the Bible, there are some who believe that the biblical approach to salvation is important. And others would say, well, you can just grow into it, and if you act like a Christian, and if you believe that Christ is a good man, you'll be all right for eternity, even though the Bible says you must be born again, and the Bible says that you must be saved. Even though it says those things, people would like to believe that if you're a good person, you're in a Christian environment, and you go to church, that you're going to be considered a Christian. And you don't necessarily have to believe all the truth. And much of what you're getting, or that I think you're getting in your messages at church, is an indoctrination rather than really an emphasis on how to study the Bible so that you know what the truth is. Now, we know that we don't live in the Old Testament. We know that we live in the New Testament, and we have to let the New Testament explain the Old. And I've often said that we look, in order to rightly divide the word of truth, we have to look for principles in the Gospels. We have to look for examples of those principles carried out in the Acts of the Apostles. We have to look for teaching in the epistles, and we have to look for illustrations of those principles in the Old Testament. And if we can do that, we can pretty well understand this truth. But the truth is that we are in a day when people want to be taught by those who have gotten advanced degrees at seminaries, and these advanced degrees at seminaries are always seminaries with a point of view. And then they come and teach those points of view to their congregations. And I sometimes wonder if congregations really understand that the only way they're really going to understand the truth is if they do a little work on it themselves. I realize that in the New Testament church, they probably didn't have the records, the manuscripts, the scrolls that we had, so they can sit down and study. They certainly didn't have a Strong's Concordance. They didn't have any of those things. But yet, it's interesting to me that the Bible is written, particularly the New Testament. I don't know much about the language of the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, the language that's used is a language of the common man. It's not the language of the classical writers. And even Paul, who was apparently very educated, he wrote in what was called Koine Greek. And so I believe that the Bible was intended for the common person to understand it. But the only way a common person is going to understand it is if they are guided by the Holy Spirit. And I personally believe that before we're saved, the Holy Spirit is working on us to convince us of the truth of the Bible. And it tries to the Holy Spirit convinces us that we're not right with God. There's an emptiness in us. We are sinners on the way to eternal separation from God. The Holy Spirit is trying to convince us that we're not right with God. We're not saints. And then when we finally admit that the Holy Spirit is teaching us the truth, then we find out that In fact, God didn't forsake us. He sent his son to the cross to die for us. And we find out that the truth is that God can make saints out of sinners. And a saint is one who has been set apart through the work of the Holy Spirit for God himself. They're a special people. We don't become, we don't act like saints to become saints. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes us saints. We don't get elected to be saints. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit seals us, and that sets us apart as holy ones, separated ones for God. Now, when we look at this matter of truth, as near as I can tell, there are over 210 references to some aspect of truth, including faithfulness and surely and some other variations of the word in the Old Testament, and over 100 references in the New Testament. So this is a very important aspect of our relationship with God. Now it just boils down to this, that if we can depend on the Bible, and we can, if we depend on the Bible, then the Bible has some very simple things to say to us. It says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's very simple, very straightforward. But it takes a person who's willing to submit to what the Holy Spirit says in order to believe that. But the question is, why should we believe it? And there's two reasons why we should believe it, and we've gone through some of those reasons. One of them is because the prophecies connected with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are voluminous and fulfilled. And the second reason why we should believe what God has said is because if we get alone with God and we read the Bible, we'll find out that it describes us and our problems, and it appeals to the spiritual side of a person. And unless we are willing to accept that, in other words, that first of all, there's objective reasons for believing the Bible. We call them internal proofs. Those internal proofs being those prophecies, particularly those connected with the Lord Jesus, and many of them connected with Israel as a nation. Those prophecies convince us that the things that the Lord, that many of the things that have been prophesied have been fulfilled, and that convinces us that the things that have not been fulfilled will be fulfilled. But there's another reason, and as I've already said, it's the fact that when we read the Bible, it appeals to us like no other book will appeal to us. If we read it with a desire to understand, not with a desire to be critical, but with a desire to understand, it will in fact appeal to us in a way no other book ever will appeal to us. We'll see truth in it that is applicable to us, and the simple person will be able to understand the simple truths of the Bible, and they'll be able to understand why Christ came, why he died, why he was buried, and why he was raised again the third day. Truth is important. We know that when the Lord was about to be crucified, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And that's exactly what Satan wants us to say. What is truth? And I'm telling you today that the Lord is the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. It's not your friends, it's not your neighbors, it's not your preacher, it's the Lord. And we learn about the Lord through the Bible, and thank God that we've been given that Bible so that we can know the truth. And the truth will set us free, not only free from the bondage of sin, but free from the bondage of Old Testament ceremony, free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened, and bless this lesson. We ask for thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen.